Welcome, everybody, to the first episode of the NWR Connectivity Podcast. I'm your host today, Scott Thompson, and I've got our whole newscast crew with us today, ringing in the first episode. I've got with me... So let's go around. Everyone, why don't you just say your name and say hi? I'm not going to go through your name, each of you. Just go around.
I am NWR director Neil Ronahan, and how funny was it that we ended on episode 69 with newscast?
Like, yeah.
Oh, 69.
I don't know about you. That was the plan from the beginning. That was the plan from the beginning.
Yeah, it might have only been better if we ended up on, like, episode 666, but that would have taken some time.
Well, I'm taking way too much time. And well, I am Mike Sklenz. If you look at my forum profile, I believe it still says NWR Media Mogul.
I believe it does.
That's my
indeed.
Official title. I've never changed it.
I am Andy Gergen. I am the reviews editor when I have time.
I'm Zachary Miller. I'm the features editor when I'm not fucking sick.
Yeah, Zach's had an unfortunate run since becoming features editor. I was just like, all right, you're going to be features editor. And then he decided to get sick for 4 months.
Still sick.
Yeah.
Zach, I didn't know where you were going. When you said...
He's going for a record.
You said when you're not fucking, and then I was like, oh, God, what's going to come
Well, that too.
I mean, you just sent me that picture of that new figure you're getting. I didn't know where this is going.
So Zach, excited.
Zach, I'm guessing you don't play the social media game Foursquare, but if you did, you would still be the mayor of that hospital.
Man, I would.
That's true.
They may have some sweet check-in specials.
Yeah, I would be the mayor so hard. They know my name at the lab, which is scary.
Yeah.
So this is the first episode of Connectivity. It's our new podcast here at NWR. I guess the whole idea behind this is we want to create a show that isn't just one long hour of us just talking nonsense, but rather than that, it's three smaller focus segments, roughly 20 minutes in length or so, in which we can, you know, tackle a variety of topics, and not only that, but then we can have, you know, other guests from the website, you know, different members of the staff come on and kind of give their opinions about different topics, you know, assuming that they are, you know, well-versed in whatever that topic is. So in this way, you know, it gives you, the listener, a better opportunity to get to know more of the staff of NWR, and it means we don't have to stay up, you know, for 2 hours on Tuesday nights anymore recording. We can, all of us can do this in half an hour, and then, you know, we can get everyone else on.
Though being that this is our first episode and we are not used to being short, and also that it was TGS, I have a feeling we'll probably go over a little over 20 minutes this week.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be up to three or four in the morning tonight, so I call
nice.
It work.
I would say the name sort of has two meanings. I think the idea with connectivity is we're trying to connect the podcast better to the website, but
and
also
we're turning into a Microsoft site, right?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Did you guys all get the memo? Connect?
Megaton.
Yeah. Man, I got gears this morning.
Connectivity? I don't know. And then also, I think we'd like to find a way to connect the listeners more to the podcast. I think we're kind of messing around with some ideas and some ways to get you guys more involved, maybe a live episode, maybe a call-in episode. I don't know. We'll figure it out later, but just that's sort of the idea here. We want to connect us more to the site, and we want to connect you guys more to us.
Right, or we might just charge you to download it. That's another idea we have to connect you.
That's the next step, you know.
Yeah.
Can't fail. Cannot fail on that idea.
Let me tell you about our premium podcast.
Premium podcast has four segments instead of three.
One of them is Zach. Fuck it.
you fill in the rest. But on today's show, and actually the highest bidder can choose what Zach fucks for that week.
Is it in?
So this week we're going to talk about a little news. We just had TGS last week, and then in our second segment we're going to talk to a news editor here, JP Corbin, and he's going to talk about the eye surgery he had and how it enabled him to see 3D for the first time with his 3DS.
The third segment I head up. Ben,
yes.
Zach's also on it, and we talk about Star Fox 64 3D with JP Corbin, news editor, Nick Bray from Australia, our Australia correspondent, and James Dawson, one of our staff writers. It's a good time. Star Fox 64 3D, good game.
Spoiler.
Kick off.
I spoiled the entire segment. It's not worth it anymore. I'm sorry, guys.
You can fast forward through that.
Saved everyone 20 minutes.
So, yeah, let's move on to some news. Andy, I'll toss things over to you. So
we got 15 minutes left, boys. We got to get through some news here. So, look, TGS happened, all right? And we already know basically what happened at TGS. They announced two Monster Hunter games for 3DS and a second slide pad, like a Square Enix RPG. And honestly, like, I don't know about you guys.
But the best name ever.
I don't really give a shit about...
I keep on wanting to call it Bravery.
Bravely Quest Love Heart.
It was Braverly. Default.
Oh, my God, that was actually...
But they got the R and the L backwards. I'm classic.
I'm thinking, like, okay, we've already kind of touched on the whole second slide pad thing. Nothing's really changed. I mean, the only thing that we know now that we didn't know then was that it requires a AAA battery, so... Wow.
Which changes my opinion of it completely.
Negative.
3DS is dead.
I don't believe I got to talk about this before, but the second slide pad is something that is just not that big of a deal. Like, it's going to be used for a couple games. It's going to be optional for a couple games. You know, I think Ace Combat's going to use it, Metal Gear, Resident Evil Revelations, and then obviously Monster Hunter. But it's just not that big of a deal. I don't even think we're going to see a whole, like, I'm not going to say quote me on this because I'll probably be wrong, but I don't even think we're going to see some big grand redesign because it's just going to be used for a few games.
The only thing I see about it is that if you put it on and you need to get the stylus, you need to take it off to get to the stylus slot.
Ooh. Is that true? Okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
It
yeah.
wraps around the whole back of the system.
And the game, too. The game stuck in there.
And you can't change the game either. That's a little less of an issue, but hopefully you don't need to use your stylus while it's on.
I would imagine that's probably the case.
Well, you've got another three buttons and a control thing, so I guess...
They could have put a hollow slide spot for the stylus in there. I didn't see one, though.
Maybe they did. I don't know. We'll ask Billy, because he got to see it.
Well, instead of talking about games that none of us really care about, like Monster Hunter, why don't we go on to something awesome like Mario Tennis?
Oh, man. I can't wait.
Developed by Camelot, who developed both the N64 and GameCube one, I'm pretty sure, right? That's
yeah,
right.
And all the Game Boy ones, too.
Okay. Camelot has basically done nothing as good as... they've done Mario sports games over the years. They did Mario Golf, Mario Tennis on GameCube and N64, and I guess
they did Golden Sun, which is
Did they do the Mario Golf and Tennis on the Game Boy Color?
Yeah.
Then I
literally
love
just said that.
They did Shining Force 2 on Genesis, which is one of my favorite RPGs of all time.
Oh yeah, yeah, wow. Yeah. Because they have a history with RPGs, but they also do a lot of the Mario sports games, which are some of them are highly influenced by RPGs, like the portable ones. So.
Why there hasn't been a Mario Tennis on Wii besides the re-release, which does not count, is beyond me because the system is perfect for it. The IP is already established. I can't wait to get this on 3DS. So this may very well be a day one purchase for me. I can't wait.
As someone who had a Virtual Boy recently and played Mario Tennis on it, Mario Tennis is actually not being my Camelot, but I believe it's the first Mario Tennis game, I think. And it's a pretty solid game. I mean, there's not much to it, but it's a lot of fun. And seeing that in 3D and the potential of that on the 3DS is really cool. And it also, I mean, just looking at the video, like, I can't wait.
Tennis games are a lot of fun. Like, Virtua Tennis has been a lot of fun for years.
Yeah.
And Topspin is fun. Mario Tennis is fun. I didn't play Sonic Superstars Tennis, but I bet it's fun. Just because, for the most part, like Sega nailed the formula with Virtua Tennis back in, like, the early century, or was it 2000 or 99? I don't know when it came out.
So.
But
well,
basically,
think,
ever since Sega kind of figured out how to arcadeify tennis with a really gorgeous presentation, that's the formula that everyone else has used, and it's brilliant.
Yeah, because Mario Tennis was after Virtua Tennis, right? I think it was.
Yeah, it was after, just barely, but it was after.
Yeah. And I think it might be safe to assume that because it is a portable tennis game from Camelot, that there will likely be an RPG component. If there is, that would be wonderful. Because I believe Mario Tennis on Game Boy Advance, I guess Mario Power Tour, Advance Tour, something like that, that was the infamous game that Stan Ferguson gave a 10 out of 10 and was ripped on at something awful.
Yeah.
But I'll defend Stan till the end of time, man.
Neil, I was going to ask if you review this game, are you going to give it a 10? So 2 years later, well, 10 of America.
Yeah, so that way
you.
2 years later when they can have the Nintendo Selects line for 3DS, they'll be like, hey, remember when Nintendo World Report gave Punch Out a 10 out of 10? And then I'll just retweet it and be real smug about shit for a couple days.
I don't remember what the email thread was, but you sent out an email to the staff, and like in parentheses, you're like, as the guy who gave, like, or who Nintendo of America just tweeted about, like,
I'm kind
validated
of a big
your
deal.
Opinion. Yeah, maybe true to me.
But yeah, I mean,
also,
Mario Tennis,
I honestly wouldn't
Mario
be surprised if,
games.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if the game had online play. I mean, it's a Mario
it
sports
should.
Games have had
You're
online
funny.
Play for a while. I mean, well, yeah. Mario Strikers had online play for Wii, right?
Believe it when I see
Mario
it.
Mario Kart has had online play. It feels like the kind of game that they would put online play with. It really
it
does.
It really
feels
does,
like the kind
doesn't
of game
it?
That should have online play? Star Fox 64.
And there you go.
Spoiler alert.
Tune into our third segment.
Well, for what it's worth, Star Fox is not a franchise that's ever had it before, whereas Mario Sports is.
Didn't Command have online?
I don't think anyone
no,
really
I don't
knows
don't
that
think
game
so.
And also, Mario Tennis has never had online before, so there goes that
actually,
idea.
Command might have had online.
I believe
Can we just forget
did.
About Command?
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to our next topic. There's apparently a new Fire Emblem game coming out at 3DS that was announced.
Yeah, it actually
3DS
has a multiplayer, so I don't know if the multiplayer... I'm pretty terrible.
I wonder if it'll be online.
As you guys saw in the last
we
episode...
We could do this all day.
Yeah. As the last episode of Newscast attested, I got married and went on my honeymoon, so I kind of missed a lot of this new explosion. But there was a new Fire Emblem game at release that has some kind of multiplayer in it.
Looks gorgeous. I mean, it looks basically as good as the Wii and GameCube versions.
And I know this isn't on this, but as far as games that look gorgeous, this is kind of recently that we put up a gameplay trailer for Professor Layton versus Ace Attorney, Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright, or whatever the hell it's called. Oh, man, that game looks awesome. And, like, it's basically, like, everything's in 3D, and it looks beautiful. So go check out that gameplay trailer. And that game, I believe...
Has that game been confirmed for the States yet?
It is all but an official confirmation. Because I believe, like, Christian Svensson from Capcom made some comment about, like that's basically said, like, yeah, it's happening. There hasn't
awesome.
Been an official announcement, but everything that Capcom has said is basically that this is coming over to North America.
Well, I will play it when it does.
Yeah.
Well, if you want an awesome segue right now... How about other games that might not come out in the United States?
Like Xenoblade.
Yeah, there you go.
Apparently, they pretty much like released four of them into stores. but apparently now the stock has been replenished. So
yeah, I know
were...
Aaron Kalutzka mentioned something earlier today that I guess he ordered a copy of the game and it's shipping. So there's some other more stock.
I've actually recently gone through the motions to make my Wii play a game like this. But I'm probably going to end up importing Pikmin 2 instead.
Yeah. I mean, I actually, at one point, I was basically about to officially order this and then kind of got cold feet because, I mean, it's a kind of game where I feel like, you know, if I had Xenoblade and I was a little younger and had more free time, I would play the crap out of it. But where I am right now, it's the kind of game that I'm not going to sink a lot of time into. And it's probably great. I believe everything good I've heard about it, but I don't know if it's just, I don't think it's the kind of game I'm interested in.
I'm not going to play it. There's no way I'm going to play this game. I don't have any interest in it at all.
If it came out here, I'd probably give it a whirl.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go through the effort of like modding my Wii.
Yeah,
to
it's
to
too
it.
Much effort to play a game that I'm only mildly interested in. If it came out in North America, I would probably buy it. But...
You know what I would do if it came out in North America? I would rent it from Netflix. Boom! Transition!
Oh, man.
Oh, look at that.
You were a professional.
I am, sir. So Netflix is going through some sort of midlife crisis.
Quickster.
Well, that's not where it starts. That's where it ends.
It's the company with the pot-smoking Elmo as its mascot, right?
Oh, my God. Did you guys see the one where it's the dude had made the Netflix envelope with the pot-smoking Elmo?
Yeah.
I was dying with all the
tweets. Yesterday might have been my favorite day on the internet ever.
It was a good one. It was a good one.
Yeah, so Netflix is hitting their midlife crisis, apparently, because they've decided to basically take the business model that got them to where they were, say, maybe 2 years ago before streaming kind of took over, and basically make it something completely not different, but they're basically unbranding their most successful product. Does that make am I right in calling it the most successful product?
Yeah, yeah. Well, because they have Netflix Instant has become a big deal, and now Netflix Instant is just Netflix, and the DVD service is Quickster.
Hmm. Yeah. Which is retarded.
Yeah, but the good thing about this is that they are having games with Quickster now.
Finally.
So they're challenging Gamefly. And the good thing about, I guess, Netflix slash Quickster is that unlike Gamefly, where I feel like they have like three distribution facilities in the entire
Netflix
world.
Netflix has
like, you know, Netflix is a lot more. So that means
maybe
well,
not
the, you know, at first it might be a little rocky, but
I'm curious to see what they're going to price this at.
Yeah.
That's
you know what's really good, guys? Redbox.
Oh, they have man. Too.
But their selection is pretty limited, though, right?
Their selection is pretty limited. However, I'm hoping that's the way I can explore a lot of like major 360 and PS3 releases. Because, for example, Deus Ex has shown up at ones near me. I haven't gotten it yet, but I intend to at some point.
It just seems like if you're going to rent a game from a Redbox for, what is it, $2 a day?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an investment in a game. Like, if you're going to rent something like L.A. Noire, like, how many days is that going to take you to beat?
Don't
it takes you a week to beat. You just paid $14 to rent it. That's a lot of money for one game.
I figure Netflix is probably going to be something like maybe an extra $3 to $5 a month for the plan. Maybe,
I'm sure it'll be
maybe
$8
for
streaming, $8 for movies, and another $8 for games, guys.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Perhaps. Yeah, but $8 a month is still probably pretty decent, depending on what the...
No, $8, I would pay $8 a month for one game at a time. That's cheaper than... Gamefly.
Well, yeah, and especially if you don't have if you have like a 2-day turnaround time like Netflix usually does, or even a next day turnaround time.
You gotta think if you worked at Gamefly or you developed that, you always had this scenario in the back of your mind. It was just a matter of when this was gonna happen.
I'm surprised it took this long.
Yeah.
I would love to see what happened to their stock today.
Well, Netflix is down.
I mean, I know a lot of people are talking like this is some sort of like corporate business suicide for Netflix, but honestly, it makes a lot of sense to me because, I mean, I use the services that they offer pretty differently. I don't mix my queues up. Like, honestly, the idea of having two separate queues appeals to me because I don't like it when my queue when they automatically add shit from one queue to the other. And I don't really use their recommendations. I know what I want to watch, so that doesn't really bug me. I'm fine with the decisions that they've made, and I think they actually make a lot of sense.
Well, if you look at their numbers, their mail subscriptions have been declining even since before the price change.
Yeah.
And streaming has been getting more popular. What they're doing, and it's kind of smart, is they're getting rid of the DVD by mail program now by excising it into a separate company. So one day when they want it to be, it'll be streaming only anyway, and it'll just have always been that way.
I would not be surprised. Yeah, I would not be surprised if Netflix did not own Quixtar within a couple years.
I mean, they already do own Quixtar, though.
No, but they're going to sell it off, don't you think? I mean, this is their way of getting out of...
Oh, you think they're going to sell it off? Oh, yeah, I think they'll sell it off, yeah.
This is
definitely
their way of getting out of that business. And they're not going to do it right away because they don't want to, like, tank their business. Yeah. But within a few years, they're going to want out of this business and they're going to sell it off.
That makes
a lot
of sense.
It'll be easier to sell it off now. It'll be easier to sell it off if it's a pre-existing standalone thing.
Exactly.
If they just tried to sell it off as a component, it definitely wouldn't work as smoothly.
They're just doing the groundwork to eventually divorce themselves from that business model.
Yeah, because streaming is where it's all going.
I can't blame them for that, but I do think that in the short term, we get a new company that's going to rent games out with the distribution power of Netflix, and that's awesome.
Now, here's a question. Do you think Netflix will ever get to the point where they want to buy OnLive so they can stream games, too?
Oh, God.
Whew, that'd be
awesome.
Wild.
I think
that
my head just blew up.
but Netflix's streaming service currently blows.
No, it doesn't.
Right. Well, I think that's... it's great if you want to watch television. It's brilliant if you want to watch television.
Right.
Yeah,
but,
a lot of Doctor Who out there.
Yeah, but it's not so great if you want to watch movies, unless you really love documentaries, which it is brilliant for.
Or really really shitty 80s movies.
I think for the price they sell it at, they have a pretty good library. Like, you can't complain you can't complain about what's on there for $8 a month. You got all of Mad Men, all of The
Office.
I'm
complaining about it.
Well, then you have shitty taste.
The problem if Netflix starts streaming games is that then at GameStop they're going to have to put like a black electrical tape over any Netflix advertisements on like Xbox 360 and PS3 boxes.
Yeah, no shit.
Start pulling out any mention of it inside.
Free Netflix trial. Let's pull it from the box and sell it as new.
Yeah, sell as new.
We got one more. We got one more news story to talk about before we call it quits and move on to the next segment.
Yes.
So they announced that Fort.
Well, I did. Okay, can I mention real quick that I thought the best-looking game that came out of the TGS conference was Square Enix's Bravely Default. I mean, it's got the worst name. It's like...
Supposedly it had this really cool AR demo that if you have a Japanese 3DS, you can download it. But basically what it is that, like, it's basically like a cutscene plays out in augmented reality. And, like, the person, like, leaves the screen and comes back, and you can follow her or you can just keep the screen there. It seems like...
Is there a chance in hell this game is coming out to the States?
Oh,
yeah,
I'm sure it will.
It seems to be a big IP. I think it's made by the Four Heroes of Light team.
It looks gorgeous. It is probably the most stunningly beautiful looking 3DS game I've ever seen.
I'm also Kingdom Hearts 3D was playable there, and that looks like it's going to be good because it actually seems to be something like a new game in the series as opposed to just
it's not a remake. I thought it was a remake of the original. That's nice to know.
It's not just another like endless rehash of the same shit you've seen a million times. And I know, Mike, you're a big Disney fan.
I don't like Kingdom Hearts, though.
Oh, really? That's weird.
Well, I played the first one, and the camera follows so close that it's basically impossible to see what's going on. So I hated it.
The second one's a lot better.
I heard the second one's a lot better, but I never really played it because of that.
And all the other ones are just kind of... It's not that they're bad. It's just that they're nonsensical garbage.
Like 365 over 482 so divided weird. By 6.5.
Converted. Birth by sleep. And another thing that came out that was cool at a TGS, and also Game Informer is doing a big, like, big, huge cover story on Skyward Sword, and there was more stuff at Skyward Sword from TGS.
That
game looks incredible.
Like, that video that demo of, or I don't know if it was a demo reel or whatever of that they played at the conference spoiled like the entire game.
I missed that.
Cool. They showed, like, every possible item I think you could get in the game in this demo reel. And they showed all these, like, locations that you've never seen before. Like, they must have showed at least half of the dungeons in it.
I didn't watch that.
I'm glad I haven't seen that video.
4 seconds of this, and then 4 seconds of that, and then, like, 3 seconds of this. So you didn't really see a lot, but you saw, aggregate, you saw a ton of stuff. It was just in really short bursts.
I mean, I was just commenting, they had a video where they had, like, the whole shield upgrade system, which I guess that's kind of cool. It seems to be, you know, riffing off of stuff that they did in Wind Waker and things like that. But what I think looks really cool is the idea of flight in this game really reminds me of Wind Waker's exploration. But it also seems that when you go down on the ground, it's, you know, you have these bigger areas to explore, a la, you know, your Twilight Princesses and your Ocarinas. So it just seems to be a real nice combination of just all of the cool things about 3D Zelda games. And my hype factor for this game is keeping on rising since it was kind of like, you know, at a lull for a while. And I'm super, super jazzed for this game.
As am I. I'm super jazzed for getting that gold Wiimote.
Yeah, me too. That was a wonderful decision, whoever decided to do this whole Game Informer exclusive, because, I mean, that so much has come out of that I think is, I mean, I'm more interested in it. I mean, I've gotten it regardless, but, I'm definitely more excited now.
And they're saying it's going to be about, there's 50 hours of gameplay, and supposedly there's a second quest, too, which... That's cool.
Ooh, that's
going to be like Master Quest. It basically has all of the content that was in Ocarina of Time 3D. Like, there's going to be a boss rush mode. There's going to be hint videos like that. So it's almost like Ocarina of Time 3D was kind of like a test drive for some of the new features, or I guess newer features that are in Skyward Sword. Except for no 3D until they remake it on 4DS.
That's the one where when it rains in the game, it sprays water on you, right?
Now, that trailer did inspire me to get my Wii fixed sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Very good.
And there's going to be... The other news coming out of this is that there's going to be 100 minutes of cutscenes, which...
That's a lot for a Zelda game.
Seems Metal Gear-esque.
I was going to say, I hope it's all...
It's only
like
an hour and a half, though.
I hope it's split in half and it's all front-loaded and back-loaded, like the ending of Metal Gear Solid 4, where it's just like
there is a 40-minute opening cutscene and then a 40-minute ending cutscene.
Yeah.
And then after the credits, there's yet another cutscene.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Zelda, they also announced a whole bunch of new Four Swords stuff.
Yeah, and that's coming out in, I guess, about a week. It's about the 28th.
But did they announce if it's going to play online?
I don't believe it's online.
No, it's not.
It's so lame.
It's co-op. But you can, like, if you download it on your DSi and your 3DS, like, you can give one system to a friend, and play as two.
Well,
links.
They also, you can play it as, you can play it with single player, where you use the R and L buttons to switch between two links, so you can go around and do it that way. Which
that's
seems,
all right, but I only have one friend with a 3DS or a DSi in town, so I guess we're just gonna be playing.
See,
it
I look
two,
out because I have a 3DS. Lauren has a DSi, and I also have my old DSi, so I can play with three people.
So you two and the cat. We'll just
just need to find a friend.
I'll get the cat.
Andy, maybe we can meet in Illinois and play.
There you go. I will say, you know where all of my friends are that will play this game with me? They're in college back in 2002.
We all need to move into a dorm together.
I miss them dearly.
Yeah. It's cool that this is free, so there's not too much to complain. But
Oh, they'll find room to complain.
Yeah. And then there are going to be new stages.
The internet always does.
The new stages look awesome.
Yeah, they
do. Because they have retro ones.
They have the throwback look to them. Yeah. Like the Game Boy one looks like a Game Boy game. And like the Link to the Past one looks like, you know, looks like an SNES game. It's great looking.
Yeah.
And that was all done by Grezzo, too, the guys who did Ocarina of Time 3D.
They're like the new...
Yeah, skills.
They're like the new Flagship. Like, Flagship did all those Game Boy Zelda games.
I mean, keep on, like, get those guys on making Majora's Mask 3DS and whatever the hell else they want to do. Because it's, I mean, it's better than having... Well, you kind of have to wonder what the hell the Nintendo teams that used to make Zelda games... I guess they're all just working on Skyward Sword.
Skyward Sword and Wii U.
Yeah. But we'll see.
They've always farmed the easy Zelda stuff out.
Yeah.
At least ever since the Oracle games.
Yep. And as far as other games that are farmed out, Project Sora's Kid Icarus Uprising is officially delayed to 2012. Not too much of a surprise, because I believe there was a Europe post-E3 release that mentioned that it was coming out in 2012, and we haven't heard shit about this game since it was labeled as Holiday 2011, which already seemed like a red flag. And it's also Sakurai's behind this game, and I don't think I've ever really seen that dude make a game on time since the original Kirby.
Yeah.
You suppose it'll support the second side pan?
Yeah, I hope it does. In all honesty, for Kid Icarus' sake, I hope it supports the second slide pad.
Neil will be able to play it.
Yeah, because I mean, I think the fact that it is, I mean, I've been told by many people that have showed off the game, because I've seen it at, you know, PAX East, the 3DS event, and E3. That's just like, oh, you know, it's fine if you're, you know, just use your right hand on the stylus. And I'm like, no, I just suck at the game now.
Yeah.
Because I'm using my non-dominant hand to try to control fine movements. Like, dicks. But, like, I really hope there's some kind of left-hand friendly mode, because it's a game that I want to play. It looks like it's going to be really good, but it's just very difficult to play.
Well, hopefully it'll have slide pad support.
Yeah.
At least as an option. Like, not necessarily need the slide pad to play it, but it'd be nice if you plugged it in and you could just use the other pad and switch hands.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, I wrote a blog post on the site where I theorized that maybe they'll have, you know, a left-handed mode, a right-handed mode, with the addition of the second slide pad, and then even a mode where you didn't have to use a stylus and could just use the two slide pads.
That'd be excellent.
That'd be nice, yeah. Actually.
That would, like, if they don't do that, I'll be kind of pissed, because it just makes too much sense.
Well, I think that's all the news we got lined up for this week.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Nice and concise.
Yes.
Condensed cast.
Condensed cast.
Alright, welcome back to NWR Connectivity. I think that's how I'm going to pronounce the word from now on.
I like it.
Spice it up a little
Connectivity.
Bit. Yeah. So in this segment, we brought along news editor JP Corbin, and he's going to talk about, when he first started to be able to see 3D with the 3DS. So JP, talk about difficulty seeing 3D in the first place. Why couldn't you see it?
Well, I didn't really know exactly why I couldn't see it. I mean, I knew going in that, you know, I have a combination of eye problems, and I figured there's a chance I wouldn't be able to. You know, I bought the system at launch, went to midnight launch even on a broken ankle because I wanted the system, and even knowing I couldn't see it, I might not be able to see it. I got it, and I couldn't, but I still really enjoyed the system, you know, more than a lot of people. You know, it would have been nice to see it, and, you know, months go by, and I have an eye surgery because I've had this issue with my eye where my right eye would kind of veer off target. It would veer off uncontrollably, and it would cause my vision to get blurry, and I wouldn't be able to see that well. And it,
would it just, it, like, it, would it, was it just drifting or something?
Yeah, basically. It would just not stay focused correctly.
Did they, like, try to give you, like, crazy glasses and stuff to try to fix it at first, or was there not much you could do?
mostly I was able to kind of control it myself, although it wasn't comfortable, but I could force my eye into position, but it was getting worse. And so we got to the point where the doctor said, we're just going to do the surgery on the muscle that controls the movement in the eye in order to get it back targeted correctly.
Is there a specific name for the surgery? Like, I know of, like, LASIK and stuff like
it's
that.
It's not that. No, this is just muscle surgery. It's not on the eye itself.
Oh, okay.
It's that muscly correcty surgery.
Yeah.
No, it's I all the
that's,
rage.
I think that's how the doctor referred to it.
Right before he said, uh-oh.
Yeah. Actually, the funny thing about that is I was awake during the surgery.
Oh, God, why?
Oh.
I know. It was, because he came in and said, well, they were originally going to do it. They were going to give me, you know, anesthetic, but they said, we don't really need to. And it was like, he didn't want to do it when it was unnecessary. So he just numbed the eye a bit. And so I'm laying there and I'm having a conversation with the doctor as he's performing the surgery.
Oh, wow. That is crazy.
It was a surreal experience a bit, you know, just talking.
Was it the kind of thing where they had to, like, did you ever see that episode of House where they numb the kid's eye by putting a needle right through his friggin' pupil?
No, they did the numbing off the eye. It wasn't there, so.
All right.
Yeah, it's like, I didn't feel any, I mean, it worked well. I didn't really feel any ill effects of it or anything.
That's good.
Wow, that's wild. Yeah, I wanted to ask, were you able to see, like, 3D movies and stuff?
I'd never gone to one, because I don't go to that many movies in theaters. I think the last movie in theater that I saw was Star Trek, which was 2 years ago.
Okay, I was going to say, it certainly wasn't Jurassic Park.
No. So I hadn't really had any experience at all with 3D until the 3DS. And then I tried it, a couple times, and I could tell that there was a difference, but I didn't really notice anything.
Yeah.
You know,
that's my feeling, too.
Even without needing eye surgery, yeah.
Well, I mean, but it's like, I could, you know, there was something, but I didn't see any depth, you know.
But it's like, you could tell the difference when you flicked, like, the switch from off to 3D, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that there was something different, but I didn't notice any effect. At first, actually, when I first got the system, I thought I could see it. Because I, like, convinced myself I could see it.
Right.
And then I figured that out that I couldn't when I thought I was seeing it when the 3D slider was turned off.
Oh.
So after that point, I just played with the 3D off because I couldn't see it, obviously. And, hey, that improves battery life.
I was going to say, that probably helped you play a little longer, too.
Yeah. Even now that I can see it, I don't play with it on all the time.
I don't either.
I was going to say, I find a lot of people don't, and that's kind of depressing.
Which is, I mean, I guess it makes sense if Nintendo's going to try and remove that as the focus of the ad campaign, which I think is a good idea. You know, there's, you know, I love the thing even when I couldn't see the 3D. There's more to the system than just the 3D.
Yeah.
Right.
And Nintendo has to make sure people see that.
Well, with me, when I have the 3D on, I only usually have it on halfway, because if you turn it on all the way, if you even flinch a little bit, you know, you get that blur, and that bugs me a lot.
Yeah.
And forget about trying to use gyro controls in Star Trek with the 3D on.
You mean Star Fox?
Star Fox, yeah.
Star Trek would be cool.
It would.
It would be nice. I would buy that.
I feel like it would be a lot like just like a Mass Effect game, but like without any combat. A lot of dialogue trees and then going through space.
I wouldn't mind that at all.
Navigate the dialogue trees with the gyro controls.
Yeah.
But, all right, so then after your surgery, you come home, and you had to wear an eye patch just night there?
Yeah, I mean, the doctor said, I had an appointment with the doctor the next day to see how things were going, and he said, you know, wear it until then if you can, or, you know, if it's bothering you too much, you can take it off before you go to bed that night. And I ended up doing that, and I woke up in the morning, come out, and I noticed, like, it's somewhat subtle, but it's like, I can see depth better than I could before. I could tell that right away. And, of course, me being who I am, the first thing I think is, hey, I should try the 3DS. And so I go, I'm pretty sure I had it in my pocket at this point, so I just pulled it out and turned it on, and I think I had Ocarina of Time in there, and I flip the slider up and I look at it and I'm like, well, there's definitely a difference there. You know, I could see it. I don't know that I see the full effect, but I don't have anything to compare that to.
It's better than it was.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I can definitely see it now. So, I mean, it was cool. You know, I like it. I mean, like I said, I don't do it all the time. I try it out sometimes, but I don't always play with it on.
Yeah.
Actually, now that I think about it, I haven't played Star Fox with it on.
Star Fox actually looks pretty good.
It does.
It seems like the kind of thing that would. Yeah. Like the way that the game graphics are designed.
It's a lot better than Ocarina of Time, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Right. Even just the style of game, it just makes more sense. And I guess they had more time to kind of implement it.
Now, JP, when you had the eye patch on, did you also wear a thick gray bandana?
No,
and it wasn't
that kind of eye patch. It was
kind
like
of
one
a
of those
stubble.
Medical eye patches. it was one of those medical eye patches.
Oh, okay.
It was like taped on, and it was like blue.
All right.
It wasn't. I did not have the opportunity to do that.
Darn.
I would have, though.
Oh, yeah. I would have, too. In fact, there was one time, and my wife can confirm this, she's not home, we were at Fred Meyer, and you guys might not know what Fred Meyer is, but it's kind of a grocery store, department store. And they had an eye patch, you know, in the medicine section. I was like, I'm going to buy that. It was like, like $2. So
wear
I bought
it all the time.
Or I bought it. I still have it. And I put it on. I was like, I don't look anything like Snake.
This is a wasted $2.
This is a wasted $2.
Man. I like that beforehand, though. You thought you had the look and the physique
exactly,
of Snake.
Yeah.
And all you needed was that eye patch.
That's all I need.
Just the eye patch.
And
man,
then the illusion.
I'm
was
missing
shattered.
The eye patch. That's all I need.
And
I would look exactly like that.
I need an eye patch.
I had an eye patch.
And then you got to talk like you've been smoking for 500 years.
That's right.
You got it down. You're good.
Yeah. Really, if only that eye patch had worked.
I had to wear a medical eye patch before too. When I was like in elementary school, my friend and I were doing like a homework assignment or like a school assignment in class. And he had the pencil, and I wanted to give it to me so I could mark an answer. And he was holding it, like, sharp side up, like, in his hand, but not letting go. And so I grabbed the top of it, and I was pulling. And then finally he let go, and I just, like, drove it straight into my face.
Wow.
Like, into my eye. So, like, I scratched my eye, like, just short of, like, yeah, just, like, just short of the pupil.
Damn.
So I had to go to the doctor, and they had to, like, they drop a little liquid in there, and then they turn off the light, and then, like, the cut glows in the dark. And then, I don't even think there was anything he could really do. I think he might have, like, cleaned it out, and he just told me I'd have to deal with it. And I just remember it being, like, the worst pain for, like, 2 days, and then it just healed. He told me that the eye was, like, the second fastest healing part of the body after the mouth.
That's cool.
And, yeah, like, 2 days later, I was fine.
Huh.
But it sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had, like, special eye drops I had to take.
Dude, yeah, eye drops are the friggin' worst.
Yeah, I know. I know, and I got better them over time because I had to take them when this, you know, when I was recovering from the surgery like that.
Right.
And I swear I got more of them, like, outside my eye. You know,
yeah.
Like half the bottle ended up on my face instead of in my eye.
Yeah
same here. Because, like, I don't wear contacts and I don't have, like, dry eyes, so I'd never used it before. And I wasn't, like, a habitual, like, pot smoker, so it wasn't like I was trying to use it to cover up my red eye for my parents or anything. So I had never used them, and it was just all over the place every time. It was terrible.
That's funny.
But, so JP, now, like, so when did you have that surgery?
That was early August, I believe. So it's about a little over a month ago now.
Okay. Do you find, like, this far removed from the surgery that it's seen the 3Ds harder at all? Has it gone back to the way it was? Or has it stayed relatively the same?
I think it's been about the same, you know. I think it kind of seems more subtle now because the depth perception stuck out more when I wasn't used to it.
Right, when it was brand new, yeah.
Yeah. But, I can still see it. And if I'm looking at the 3DS, I'm expecting the 3D and I can see it because of that. But, in everyday world, it doesn't stick out as much when I have the, you know, no pun intended, with the depth perception. But when I'm focusing on it like that, it still definitely is better than it was before.
What games do you have for the 3DS, sir?
Oh, I have way too many games for the 3DS. I think I have like 10 of them now, actually.
Oh, wow.
11. No, I think Star Fox was 11.
Okay.
I have, let me see.
You are having more fun with this than the rest
of us. I am. I'm having more fun than the rest of you combined.
That's true.
I didn't realize there were 11 3DS games out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And even more of them coming. I'm like reviewing 3 or 4 of them before the end of the year, and that's not counting the stuff that I'm not reviewing that I want to buy. So.
Damn.
Well, yeah, you're a diehard. So what do you have?
I bought 5 games launch day, actually. I bought Pilot Wings, Ridge Racer, Madden, Pro Evolution Soccer, and Ghost Recon.
Oh.
I still haven't played Ghost Recon, but I haven't.
It's pretty good.
I know, that's what I hear.
That was the only game I got at launch, and I actually put a lot of time into it.
Yeah, I've heard great things. I just haven't had the time to sit down and play it. And then since then, I bought... What do I have? I bought Ocarina.
Of course.
I bought Resident Evil Mercenaries.
Cool. How long did it take you to get sick of that game? It took me about 10 hours.
I thought you were going to say minutes.
I haven't gotten sick of it, though. I'm not sure I've played it that much. You know, I have so many games that I kind of flip between them. I haven't had the time to get sick of any of them yet.
That's good. That's good.
That's a good strategy.
I should take that strategy.
I bought Samurai Warriors Chronicles, which I haven't played, but I bought it because I could get it cheap. Because when you bought Ocarina of Time on Amazon, when I did, you got a $20 credit toward a 3DS game. But, of course, it was only certain 3DS games.
Right.
And I bought, like, all the good ones that were in that promotion, so I ended up buying Samurai Warriors Chronicles. Because somebody on the site, I don't even know who it was, gave it a pretty good review. And I looked at some videos. I'm like, yeah, I'll play that.
It was probably Phil Theobald.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, nobody gets that. Well, some of our listeners are going to get that. That's a Player One podcast reference.
Oh, okay. Look at you.
He loves Samurai Chronicles.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. What do you think of Star Fox? It's a lot better than I thought it would be.
Well, I like it. I mean, we're going to have our little discussion on that coming up. But
yeah, that's coming up next.
I will say that I like it a lot. We'll leave it at that. You can... Well, I'm not sure if this segment will be before or after that. So if this segment is before that segment, you'll hear about it later.
There you go.
And if it was before this segment, you can rewind to hear about it.
I know. I love this. It's so, like, memento-like. Like, we just... You know, it's all in and out of order. I think this will be the middle segment, though. So I think they're coming up. They're going to hear about it. And actually, you're both going to be on that.
Get excited, people.
When we get off the air, you guys are going to have to remind me how to get to Andross, the real Andross, because I keep getting to the robot.
Oh, okay. I think, we'll talk about it afterwards.
I don't even remember.
I find, since I'm not on that, I'll just say real quick, I find, like, I have a problem with a lot of the 3DS games. My hands just start to hurt. While playing the system. It's so, like... Just not designed well for my hands.
My thumb will start to slide off the circle pad.
Always, yeah, that happens to me too.
Yeah, I haven't really had those problems. I've never really had any of the problems. People complain about, you know, Nintendo handhelds being uncomfortable to hold, but I've never really had those issues.
Yeah, I never had a problem with the DS, but then again, like, I feel like most of those games were designed with the touchscreen, so I just was probably holding it with one hand and then using the touchscreen. I find, like, a game that forces you to use, like, both shoulder buttons and then you're, like, moving the circle pad a lot, like, it just starts to cramp up a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah. It is.
But, it is. But, I don't know. Did you have any, like, closing thoughts, JP? I mean, how long did you leave the 3D on before you got sick of it? Like, I'd imagine if you bought that many games at launch, like, I'd imagine even if you weren't liking the 3D, you would have just tortured yourself and left it on for, like, a week just because you
I don't know.
Got
I think
to see it.
I figured out pretty early on that I couldn't see it, like, initially.
Right. What about after the surgery? Like, how long did you keep it on, like, just enjoying it?
I kind of go back and forth, you know. Sometimes I play with it on, sometimes I don't. Like I said, sometimes I forget to turn it on. Like, I haven't played it with Star Fox yet, even though I've played that a bunch. So, I guess I'm going to go back and do that now that I remember.
Sweet. Well, there you go. Any closing thoughts, Zach?
This figure is way too expensive.
What's too expensive?
This figure I'm looking at on Amazon.
Oh, okay. So not
put
the
a link to that in the show notes.
yeah. Please do. I'd love to share with everyone what you're looking at.
Well,
I can
over
only imagine.
$100. So.
All right. Well, send me the link because I'm going to throw it in there. Then.
I'm going to do that right now.
All right. Well, if that's it, then thanks a lot, JP, for coming on.
Oh,
and,
you're welcome. I had
sharing your story there.
Gladly.
If you want to read more about JP's surgery, you can find his blog. What was the name of it?
Seeing in 3D for the first time, something like that. It was a month ago.
Yeah, it was about a month ago. But if you go to the blogs, it's like probably 5 or 6 now. So
yeah.
Check it out. Check it out. Check it out.
Hi, and welcome to the segment of Connectivity, and this is going to be about Star Fox 64 3D, a relatively new release from Nintendo and Q Games, which is headed up by the guy who made the original Star Fox, Dylan Cuthbert. And I'm your host for this segment, Neil Ronahan, and with me we have a mix of old and new. We've got the oldest, Zachary Miller.
Wow, I am the oldest.
We have J.P. Corbin, news editor.
How you doing, everybody?
We got Nicholas Bray from Australia on the call.
Hello.
And we got James Dawson, who's, I guess, the newest member of the Merry Men that we have here. And an NWR podcasting rookie. So the hazing will commence after. We'll tie you to a flagpole or something. But let's get right to Star Fox 64 3D. And I guess before we get into the actual 3DS remake, let's talk about the original one a little bit. So let's go around, starting with JP and going our first experience with Star Fox 64.
Well, Star Fox 64 was one of the first games I ever owned on a Nintendo platform. The first Nintendo console I owned was the N64, and Star Fox 64 was one of the two games I bought with it, along with Super Mario 64. So it's like I have a long history with the game, and I'm a huge fan. I love it. You know, it's one of my favorite games of all time.
All right, so James, how have you come into the Star Fox 64?
Really, I never had a 64, so the first time I played it was on the Virtual Console. And I really couldn't get into it because the controls seemed really loose on the
game.
Classic
controller. I couldn't remember the name.
Classic controller. Yeah, I mean, I had that same problem. I never bought it on Virtual Console, but a friend of mine did, and I remember playing it, and it didn't feel the same as the N64 version.
The GameCube controller works well.
Yeah, I had no problems with the GameCube controller.
There's another thing, too. You know, the controls are inverted. And I guess you can change them in the options, but I didn't like that either. So I really never got off of Corneria on the Virtual Console.
Wow.
I mean, I finished it, but I just kind of put it down and said, I don't really care much for this.
Wow. Yeah. So why the hell did you buy this one?
Yeah,
we'll get to that later.
Question.
I just bought it, and I love it.
Yeah. I mean, at least for me, I never owned it when I was younger. I got JP and I were talking about before this that I got my N64 in March 1997, so a couple months before Star Fox 64 came out, and I was busy playing Mario Kart and stuff like that. So I kind of, you know, friends got it and I checked it out, but I never played too much of it until I bought it on Nintendo 64 in like the early 2000s when I went on a big retro gaming binge, and then I was very excited for the 3DS one. Nick, what's your experience with Star Fox 64? Wasn't it Lilat Wars in Australia?
Yeah, Lilat Wars here. I only played it at a friend's house mostly. He was like a savant at Star Fox 64, should I say. And basically, I just played it at his house and borrowed it a few times. Used to run through it every now and then. It was just, yeah, really fun. I got a 64 in late 99, so by the time I got a 64, it was an old
hat.
Much. Yeah. I never bought it on the 64. I only got it on the Virtual Console.
All right, so Zach, why did you even get the 3DS one? Me and you are stuck.
Because I was in the hospital and there was nothing else to play.
What, you didn't get Mega Man on Game Boy or anything?
Oh, no, you said the 3DS, period. no, I didn't buy Mega Man. That game blows.
I actually enjoyed it. I beat that, but that's a tale for another time.
It is. I bought Star Fox 64, honestly, because there was nothing else to fucking play.
I would disagree with that statement.
Wait, are you talking about N64 or 3DS?
I know you would. Oh, I meant the 3DS, but the N64 game, I never really liked it nearly as much as the Super Nintendo version.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. Like, I love Star Fox 64, but the Super Nintendo one's just sublime.
See, I never liked the Super Nintendo one.
I think there's just...
I apparently dislike everything on the Super Nintendo.
Well, that's pretty much.
That's an argument for another podcast, you jerks. But the 64 one, I mean, it's good. It certainly looks a lot better, but it's hard to get into. And I really hated that I couldn't save.
That was huge.
Man, I hated that, even back then.
That's really the thing I like the best about this version, by the way, is that you can save.
Yeah, I actually had I talked to people.
It's so great.
None of my friends have 3DSs, but they're all kind of like, you know, they saw me playing Ocarina, and they're like, oh, shit, can I check it out for a little bit? And with Star Fox 64, the one thing that everyone asked me was, can you save? And I was like, yes. And they're like, oh, my God, I need the system now.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's that much of a deal breaker.
It is pretty big.
Yeah.
I think it's a big deal for the save.
Yeah, I mean, and I think Star Fox 64 3D lends itself to being a great portable game because each mission, you know, there's some that are longer than others, but for the most part, like, missions are like 5 minutes long, and it's bite-sized gameplay.
It really does. It's perfect
for it.
There's something about being able to close it and do whatever that's so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just like every other 3DS game, I suppose.
That's a great feature Nintendo built into both the 3DS and the DS, the sleep mode. It really does wonders for the portability.
Except for it sucks because the battery on the 3DS drains real quick if you just put it in the sleep mode.
Oh.
But if you turn off the wireless, then that kind of works it. And I think actually Star Fox 64 3D automatically turns off the wireless, I think.
Oh,
it's weird.
That's nice.
I don't know, because people were talking about that with Ocarina of Time 3D. That, like, when you're in the game, I think the wireless, you will not show up as online playing that game. Maybe not all the time, but sometimes.
That's strange.
Yeah. But so why did we all get Star Fox 64 3D? I mean, I got it because, in all honesty, I was super excited for, you know, this remake because I never really sunk my teeth into the original. So this was a great opportunity for that, and I've been loving it. Like, you know, experimenting with the game, like a lot of this. Like, I knew of some of the alternate paths, but some of them I've just stumbled upon because I'll be like, I wonder if I shoot over there, and then, you know, I go through these rings, and then I'm on a new planet. And it does a very good job of teasing you with, like, you could go this way if you're good.
Yeah, I bought it largely because there's nothing else to play. But I like it. I mean, I don't regret it at all. In fact, I kind of wish I'd not bought Ocarina, you know, and saved $40 and then just bought this.
Why would you say that?
Well, this seems like it has a lot more replay value than Ocarina.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Ocarina is a lot longer for one playthrough. You, like we said before this show,
sure, but there's
you can
the
play
score
through
attack and the
in,
expert
like,
mode,
minutes.
And
you got Master Quest in Zelda.
Yeah, and defending Ocarina, I played a dungeon in Master Quest, and it at around 20 hours, it is far and away the game on 3DS that I've spent the most time with.
Yeah, same here. It's still mine, too.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying that Ocarina has no replay value. I'm just saying that, for me, a guy who doesn't have a whole lot of time, Star Fox is going to give me more for my money.
Yeah, I get
that. I can see that, yeah.
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 It's the kind of stuff, like, I was away for the past week, and it would be the kind of thing where it's just like, I got some downtime. I'll boot up Star Fox and play a mission or two.
Exactly. Some of those medals are friggin' hard. I mean, you even get the gold.
I've only got one gold.
I have not gotten a single damn medal, although I haven't played the score attack. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but the score attack actually has, like, lesser medals that you can reach for than in the main
yeah,
race, right?
Yeah, it does.
More
bronze,
medals, right?
Silver,
yeah,
and gold.
Yeah, because there's three different tiers of medals, where in the main game there's only one.
I haven't even tried those yet. I've just been playing through the campaign.
The gold medal requirements are insane on Score Attack, though.
Oh, man. Yeah, because like, I was trying a couple times, because when I was writing the review, I figured out, you know, I needed to play some Score Attack.
It's my kind
of I tried to get some of the high medals. Oh, man. It's
like,
a pain.
Cornarius, 190 for the gold, and my best is 155, so I don't know where I'm going to get the other 40 or so.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I've never been good at getting medals in that game, though, and the 3DS version just confirms that even more. But even if you're not going for medals, which... In all honesty, I think one of the shortcomings of the 3DS version is that there's no tangible reward for the medals other than, like, well, you can play the game, and now it's crazy hard. And that's something like, I mean, playing another game that recently came out, Kirby Mass Attack, you get these medals in the game, and you constantly unlock things, whereas with this, it's just kind of like you beat the game once, you get a sound test, and then you can get an expert mode if you get a lot of medals.
I don't know.
Which,
it's
at
like...
that point... Like, I mean, you've played so much of the game already to get those medals. It's like the reward is just to play the game more.
Yeah.
I think they should have included the...
go ahead.
You go, JP.
All right. I was going to say that's another area in which if they'd taken the time to put in some online stuff. Like, you know, a lot of people have complained that the multiplayer should have been online, but you should have put leaderboards...
Before we get there, Nick, what were you saying? Because JP is going to take us on a whole different stratosphere with the multiplayer's talk.
I think they should have maybe looked at including the original Star Fox as an unlockable.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been pretty cool.
Like 60 frames a second, it would have been really good.
Yeah, like you don't really need to do anything to that game except for just you know, improve the frame rate.
And while you're at it, Star Fox 2.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be an interesting game. I don't know if any of you guys, there is a ROM... leaking around.
I've
played little bits of it.
Yeah, I've never played it, but it just, I mean, it is the kind of stuff where a lot of what was in that game just became Star Fox 64, but there is still like an entire game that is lost to the time.
Actually, it's more like Command on the DS.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I've heard.
But, I guess JP was talking about the multiplayer, which is
I wasn't talking about the multiplayer, I'm saying that if they wanted to add life to the game, they should have had like friend leaderboards for the high scores for the different levels.
Yeah, because
online content. What?
I mean, because even if like you're in my case where you suck and you can't get medals, at least you could compete with friends that also suck.
And I could feel better about myself for being better than Neil.
Yeah, I can make everyone feel better.
Well, that's a problem that Nintendo has with most of their games now. Because I know.
I mean, it seems like they might correct that a little bit, because it looks like Mario Kart 7 is going to have some more online stuff.
Mario Kart 7, I mean, not to get distracted, but Mario Kart 7 looks amazing.
Yeah. But once again, talk for another time. This is about Star Fox.
Exactly. Star Fox.
I mean, online leaderboards, total missed opportunity. Wing, 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 garbage. So does anyone else...
The other ones.
I guess we could talk about the graphics. This game looks freaking
beautiful.
They're
so good.
It is.
It really does look amazing.
The 3D effects are great. It is the most beautiful game I've seen on the system. And I mean that opening, the opening video that they redid is just gorgeous.
And they really prettied it up a lot more than they did for Ocarina.
Well, because what they did in this is that whereas Grezzo, for Ocarina, that is the N64 game prettied up. Whereas in Star Fox 64 3D, they remade the entire game to make it look exactly like the 64 version, but they remade the entire game for the 3DS from the ground up.
And it shows.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
so
pretty. I mean, we've gone over in another segment on this podcast how I can see the 3D, but I still play with it off most of the time for various reasons.
Yeah.
Even without the 3D, it's just jaw-dropping. I mean, it's really amazing what they did. I mean, it's still Star Fox 64, but it just looks so much better.
Yeah, it's one of the games that I do play with the 3D on, and I usually, for most 3DS games, you know, I'll play it with it on for a little bit and usually turn it off. With this game, and I'll always have it on. And even with the gyro mode, which I think is kind of neat, not to use as like the main control, but just as kind of like, you know, the ability to tinker, kind of like an ocarina. It works really well, and because it's not moving the entire system, you know, it's not really hindered by the 3D as much.
Mm. Yeah, that's,
There's no frame rate drops between 2D and 3D either, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Looks good.
I mean, Nintendo's been pretty good about that so far. I mean, you've seen more third-party games that struggle with that, but I
pretty much everything by Ubisoft.
Yeah. Well, it's Ubisoft, you know?
Yeah. They'll have some good games occasionally, but for the most part, crap.
But, you know, they should remake Rayman 2 in 3D.
They have, like, 8 times. But, anything else? I mean, we've talked about the graphics. There's also the soundtrack, which also redone and also beautiful.
Was it redone? I couldn't really tell.
I'm pretty sure it's redone.
What
or at least
really,
remastered.
The crazy thing is that they redid all the voices, but they redid them in a way where they sound like the same.
They redid them
with
all of the same actors.
They did? I didn't know that. But it's like it's like the same intonation, the same horrible acting.
Yeah, I think they really could have updated the script.
No, you can't update the script.
It would have ruined it.
It would have ruined it.
They added some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you don't mess with that. It's a classic for all the wrong reasons, but it's
a classic. I disagree with Zach where, you know, you don't want to change the script, but I also do agree with James that you could have added something to the game to make it more, like, you know, some kind of secret to it that wasn't there before. Mm.
Fox, get this guy off my tail!
The song that plays at the end of the game as well, the new song, is really nice.
Yeah. And I was messing around in the sound test mode. They have some of the medleys at the end are really cool.
Hmm. I never touched things like sound test.
Yeah. It was more like I just beat it and unlocked it, and it was pretty late at night, and I just wanted to listen to some of the music to kind of like chill and veg out too, and it was worth it. And I guess let's kind of get to the disappointments of this game, which we kind of talked a little bit about with the online leaderboards.
Yeah, the online, the lack of online, I think, is the biggest one.
Just period. Because the multiplayer, I was playing that a little bit. I haven't been able to play it with anyone else, but I've played the single player one, and I find it's a lot of fun. They added kind of Mario Kart-esque power-ups.
Well, you can play Mario. You can play the multiplayer by yourself?
Yes, you can play single player with three bots.
I didn't realize you could do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think it's good that they have the single player. Oddly enough, there's only download play. So even if you did have people with multiple cartridges, you know, one person would have to host a game, and then the other people that have to join it, there's no other option for it.
I don't know anyone else with a 3DS.
Yeah, I mean, that's my problem, too, is that none of my friends have 3DS.
It's crazy. I'm on a college campus, and somehow nobody else here has one, because I haven't gotten a single street pass.
Same here.
I've gotten 29.
Yeah, I got a couple when I was on my honeymoon in Canada. That was cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Mainly in Toronto.
Interesting, yeah.
But the multiplayer is, as I find, it's really fun, but there's no online, and the likelihood of me playing someone in person, which, I'm sorry, this whole idea of having, you know, the video things of people while they're playing, when you're right next to them, is so dumb.
Stupid.
Well, I mean, you know, you wouldn't see their face because you'd be looking at your screen.
True.
So, I mean, there's something, but, I mean, really, it should be online.
Yeah.
I guess it's another one of those things that's only really going to be used a lot in, like, PAX and E3 and all those places.
I don't think people make the exaggerated, oh my gosh, faces that Nintendo think they do when they lose.
It's going to be like people with stern looks being like, fuck. So, James or Nick, did you guys get a chance to play the multiplayer with any other human beings or single player?
No, not yet, but I could probably today, actually. But I played a bit of the by myself, and yeah, it's pretty fun. It's a lot better than the original multiplayer on the 64.
Yeah, the original multiplayer kind of sucked, not going to lie.
Yeah, I played the original multiplayer quite a bit, but it's just bad.
I played with the bots a few times. I do have a friend that has it, but I haven't been able to get with him and try it out yet.
Yeah, I mean, I just wish it was online, because if it was online, we could all be playing it right now, and that would be awesome.
Right now.
It just boggles my mind that it seems like for such obvious online multiplayer things, like, Nintendo just doesn't do it. It's like, I don't get it.
It's also kind of...
This game... This game has been around for a while. This was shown last year at E3 when they announced the system. This was a playable... Wasn't it playable? Or it was at least playable there. So it's like, it's not like they didn't have the time to implement it.
Yeah.
Well, it's odd, too. Back when the DS first started getting big with the Nintendo Wi-Fi, most of their games that they were putting out, Mario Kart, Star Fox, Animal Crossing, they all had online.
Yeah. And it seems like now, I mean, Mario Kart's going to have it, but it's... They don't really... Nintendo hasn't released a game for 3DS that has an online component, period.
Yeah.
This is probably the first one where you can really argue for it.
Yeah.
I mean, of what Nintendo's made, I don't know what else they've made so far that you could argue they should have put online multiplayer in. But this definitely should have had it.
I mean, they put multiplayer with Phantom Hourglass, and they didn't with this.
Yeah, but they didn't have the Wi-Fi in Spirit Tracks, although the multiplayer in Spirit Tracks was kind of fun. I don't really recall the Phantom Hourglass one, although that was online. But, well, yeah, I mean, it sucks, but it's still a great game.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's beautiful, it's a lot of fun, and I guess as we near the end of this segment, sort of, what would you guys say to people who... owned Star Fox 64 on N64 and have a 3DS and are looking at the game now, why should they get it?
Well, I mean we've talked, it looks a lot better, it's got the save feature. I mean, I don't know how different people are going to value the portability of it in different ways, but I mean, to me that adds a lot to it.
Hey, you want to play something on your 3DS?
So true.
No, I think if you loved it back in the day, you're going to like it now.
There's plenty of stuff to play on the 3DS.
Quiet you.
Not as much as you think.
This is the 11th 3DS game that I own. Because I'm insane.
Yeah, most of them are shit, and some of them came from me.
Most of them, one of them may be shit. Okay, a couple, maybe. I don't know. I have a real problem.
I lost count after number 8. crap, what was I going to say? Yeah, I mean, it's a really good game. It looks great. It plays great. It feels great. Circle pad's real nice.
It is.
It is, I mean, definitely the definitive version of the game.
Hey, what the hell is the difference between the N64 and 3DS?
I was
going to
ask
versions?
That. I have no idea. I've been playing the N64 version.
I don't think there is any.
I think it's just like... The N64 version is just the N64 version, like, straight up, whereas the other one, I guess, compensates for the gyro controls and
the circle
pad.
It's either easier or harder, but I don't know which it is.
Yeah, I don't know. And I actually tried to inquire about this to Nintendo, and they got the response where that's what they gave me, was that, what compensates for the gyro controls? I'm like, but how?
Yeah, does that think the gyro controls help or hinder? I mean,
is it more difficult? Is it easier?
I think it's probably harder with the gyro controls just to play it.
That's what I would think. It would seem like that would be the easier mode to me. But I'm not sure. I've only played the N64 mode, so I haven't tried anything else.
Maybe the pop-up is worse in the N64 mode.
No. Greg
you
said,
play in N64 mode too long, you go to the multiplayer, and it's just the N64 multiplayer, and you're like, what the hell? Did I ruin the game?
You can switch on N64 visuals.
There you go.
Or N64 voices.
Yeah. You can't tell the difference.
You can tell the difference, but it's not as much as I was afraid you might when I heard they were re-recording them.
They should have gotten an actual cowboy to voice Peppy.
You can't mess with the classics.
They probably just lost the original sound files and had to re-record
them.
I'm still impressed that they tracked everyone down. I guess we're kind of meandering a little bit here, but I guess to kind of finish this off, what do you guys hope for in the future with Star Fox? I mean, I personally just hope that they make a sequel that's like 64 but new.
Internally developed
3D2.
Yeah. Why not release Star Fox 2, but, prettied up?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
like I said, that's kind of Star Fox Command.
Keep Q games on it.
Is it, though?
Keep Q Games on it, but tell Q Games that they can't make another Star Fox Command, because I don't really like that much. And I just want something like Star Fox 64.
There were issues with it. I don't want another one like that.
Yeah.
Basically, just make a direct sequel to 64.
Yeah,
okay?
Hopefully and it'll either... sell enough, and that can happen.
I think it would be kind of cool if they made a kind of a Zelda clone, but it took place on, like, a planet with dinosaurs, and you have to find a lot of Baphomedads.
Whatever you do. Okay, here's what you don't do with Star Fox. Don't do anything that's not in an R-Wing. Okay.
Yeah, there you
well,
go.
I mean,
maybe
yeah,
one
I
or
agree
two,
with that, because the Landmaster section is
kind of suck. Master, you get the Landmaster. I mean,
dude,
Big
the Landmaster
Beth, Big
does
Big Beth is a great
suck.
Level, and that's the Landmaster. The Big Beth is one of the best levels in the game, and it's Landmaster, but just one or two. The rest of it, put it in the R-Wing. That was the problem.
Man,
with
I can
all
never get
all
those fucking switches.
I mean, one of these days I'll have to get old newscast guy, Nathan, back on to talk about Star Fox Assault. I don't think
Ooh.
That game's as bad as everyone says
it's
it
not.
Is. But
it's a good game, except if it were all parts in the R-Wing and none of the on-foot stuff, it would be a lot better than it
the
is.
The problem with the on-foot stuff in Assault is that when you're controlling like the person on foot, it just feels like you're controlling a vehicle because it's
like
the controls
Rogue
are the same.
Squadron
3. It just instead of having some kind of wheeled thing that your character's in, you're just controlling your character, and it's just weird.
And it's just kill all these people and do. There's no depth to it. There's nothing interesting about
yeah.
it.
What I would want them to do is add like 4-player co-op to the
yes.
main
that,
campaign.
That would be
oh,
awesome.
That
yes.
would be amazing. Online voice chat, whatever.
Yeah.
So
that way
you
can tell each other to do a barrel roll during the game.
So what would have to happen for that to happen is Nintendo would have to hand over the franchise to Sony. and then Sony would have to
Q
make
Games,
it.
I think Q Games might be able to do it.
Nintendo
yeah.
would
Q
have
Games
to let them, which
to
would
Sony,
never happen.
So.
What do you guys think of maybe a prequel that includes his father, James?
Ooh,
that would be
I'd
pretty
like
cool.
That.
If it plays like have... Star Fox 64, I don't care what characters it has.
But then you have to lose at the end. James has to die.
That, I mean, it'd be like the Star Wars prequels,
yeah.
which you know,
that's
makes
a
sense.
Great comparison. Compare it to the Star Wars prequels.
As long as they don't
and
mess it
and
up.
James Fox would have to say no.
Yeah, it'll be you'll have four people. You'll have you'll have James McCloud. You'll have Peppy. You'll have Pigment Dengar, and then you'll have Jar Jar Binks.
You can put maybe Crystal has an old relative, Crystal's father or something.
There
you
go.
You know?
Does she make General Pepper part of the team?
There you go.
Before
that could
he
work.
Was General Pepper.
Or Rob.
Lisa, no like Andross.
I was also thinking, with the on-foot stuff, if they wanted to go kind of in that direction again for a couple of levels, I think they could maybe try and take off Gears of War, maybe, with like cover-based kind of laser shooting fights or whatever.
I mean, it could work, but we'd have to give it to the right people.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Like Namco.
Namco. Although Namco's doing real good stuff on 3DS, just keep it in the hands of Q Games. I think whatever you do with Star Fox, just keep it with Q Games. Keep it with Q Games.